look at the difference Johnny Kenny made in Europe. He was the focal point, the goal scorer. You don't have that in the league this season. You don't have that out-and-out striker.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Andrew, welcome back to Off the Ball Saturday here on News Talk. John Duggan with you 3 to 5. You can WhatsApp us today 0879 180 180, 0879 180 180. You text us 53106, a cost of 30 cents. The Saturday panel is reviewing the Sporting Week. Going to try and make sense of everything that's happened and is happening with two of Ireland's most experienced sports journalists, Brendan O'Brien of the Irish Examiner and Philip Lanigan of the Irish Daily Mail. Brendan and Philip, happy sunshine.
Yeah, I like that. Thanks, experienced John. Or old. That's another word.
Yeah. Veteran.
Veteran.
Doyens. And so much to talk about. USPGA Championship, Rory McIlroy. We've got the scores controversy. We've got Rachel Blackmore's retirement. The sevens being abolished for men. The FA Cup final today. The Gaelic football. I suppose the joy that is bringing back to some people's lives. And yeah, maybe just start with Rory McIlroy and the USPGA. So just to kind of, I suppose, summarise things, folks, at halfway. Quail Hollow, North Carolina, hosting the USPGA Championship, the second major of the year. Jonathan Vegas from Venezuela is the leader on 8 under par, 4 years of age now, probably seen as a journeyman pro. Matthew Pavon, France, and Matthew Fitzpatrick of England, and Siwoo Kim, they're all on 6 under par. Matthew Pavon, whose father, Michel, used to play for Bordeaux, folks, just to let you know, and scored in the Champions League game against Manchester United in 2000. That's a bit of a weird stat about him. Matt Fitzpatrick, US Open champion of a few years ago, 3 years ago. He's on 6 under. Siwoo Kim at a hole in one yesterday. He's 6 under. Max Homa, 5 under par. He's on the comeback trail. And Scotty Scheffler, the world number one, on 5 under par. And he is obviously the favourite, Scotty, to win this week, his third major championship. Rory McIlroy is with Tom McKibben, the only Irish player to make the cut. So Rory McIlroy had a 69 yesterday. He's 1 over par, possibly too far back. 4 bogeys in his back nine yesterday at a course he's won 4 times on the PGA Tour. Tom McKibben 1 under. Shane Lowry, Padraig Harrington and Seamus Power all missed the cut. So Rory McIlroy, have you been buzzed about it? Have you been like gripped by it after he won the Masters and now he's looking to win this major this week? Was it appointment viewing for you over the last couple of days, lads?
Absolutely, yeah. Totally enwrapped by it. And going back to the weekend in Augusta, you could not be. Like, it is a fantastic story. Fantastic to see him getting the career Grand Slam done, everything else. And it's amazing how much of a hold McIlroy had on us in terms of the 10-year wait and how central he became to golf, not just in Ireland. Clearly, when you talk to colleagues at Open Championships or whatever, and you see the grip McIlroy has on the wider imagination. And it's been interesting since the Masters to see how that grip has changed. So we moved very swiftly on from, can he get the career Grand Slam, to can he get a one season Grand Slam? Can he get to 10 majors? And I know, Philip, you were saying, you heard somebody talking about, can he match Jack Nicklaus? And it's just amazing how out of control it spun, I think. It was quite annoying, actually, to see this talk of seasonal Grand Slams and everything. I actually went into a bit of a rabbit hole during the week. I think in the last, since 2014, including McIlroy in 14, 4 golfers have won 2 majors in the one season. None of them won 3. I think, is it 1958 that the PGA was played as a match play? So I went back to then. So since 1958, there's been 4 men have won the opening 2 majors in a season. Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus, Tiger Woods, and
Jordan Spieth.
So this is how rare this all is, but yet we allow ourselves to kind of snowball down the hype hill about McIlroy, and we'd gladly go along for the ride. So to put it in context, since the Masters, he played 36 holes between the Zurich Classic and the Truist, and he's played 36 holes now, and that's one tournament of golf. So it just goes to show how quickly we kind of got caught up in it. And even now, I was online this morning, somebody was talking about, he's 1 over, he's 9 behind the leader. Go back to 2010, the Quail Hollow Championships. He was 1 over, he was 9 behind the leader. So we just keep grasping at these straws. Now, the PGA is the strongest, the most deepest field of any of the majors. There's 62 players or 61 players between him and the leader. Unflattering, though, the leaderboard is. So I just think we all need to take a deep breath. Even if he comes back and does the impossible and shoots 40 and
he's
under,
not going to win this week.
He's not. And but even if he did, John,
yeah.
Could you imagine what it'd be like come to US Open?
But I couldn't understand it because the pressure's off forever now because he's competed golf.
Yeah. But we continually psychoanalyze where McIlroy's head is at, and that'll happen again once Monday morning.
Yeah, and I must, like Brendan, I think the last time I was in here was the morning of the Sunday of Augusta, and we all backed him to win, and it was, I think, the most incredible TV sport that I can remember. And I remember being physically, emotionally exhausted by the end of it, never mind playing it. But again, like Brendan, I was listening to Paddy Carrington, I think, and whether it was thrown at him, but he mentioned 10. And
yeah, he said it to Nathan Murphy.
Yeah, and I was kind of sitting there going, really? Like, he hadn't won in so long. And you're looking there going, well, the greatest golfer in the world whose stats were up there, was it in a calendar year with Tiger Woods, was Scottie Scheffler. And lo and behold, shock horror, the best golfer for the last 3 years or so is just perfectly positioned to win this major. And you're looking, obviously playing alongside Rory, pointed it up perfectly. And I watched them on, was it Thursday? But they had the trip, a double bogey together, the three of them. 16th. And you're sitting there. So Scheffler hasn't quite got his game. So here he is. And last night, as he walked, signed off in the 18th, they're kind of saying, Scheffler, he's not kind of fully there with his game. Is he -5, perfectly positioned? And Rory, if he didn't win the Grand Slam, he'd be kind of going, oh, Ginny, Rory's been Rory again. You know, some wonderful golf. And then just a few little mistakes here and there. The put on 17, which I know Scheffler missed identical. So like Brendan, I couldn't get over how quickly, and it's fun to jump on the train, but how quickly the kind of madness and the hype started about what number of double digits.
Well, he'd be never under the pressure he was at the Masters ever again. That's probably why people are thinking of that.
But
way.
Yeah, but the emotional and mental focus required to get there, it's like climbing Everest and then kind of going, oh, sure, it'll be easier the next time. It's not that we've seen it with, say, All-Ireland winning teams, or even in team sport, the mental and physical focus required to get there. And McIlroy is actually never had the dip that other golf. You look at Morikawa, say his greatest iron player coming along, suddenly had a massive dip. Look at Spieth, who went from not being able to miss, as if the cup was the size of the room here on the greens. Game went. Justin Thomas, you know, was only picked for the Ryder Cup because his buddy lived down the road. And McIlroy hasn't had the wobble. So now, actually, you're thinking McIlroy could actually be reaching a stage where he might actually humanly, deservedly, have the wobble that pretty much every other top golfer has had in the last 10 years. So I wouldn't be surprised if some element of his driving, which is meant to be infallible, suddenly didn't look so good. That the mental focus that he had for 10, 11 years, if there's a little bit of a dip in that and he starts hitting the ball, one element of his game suddenly goes like all the other top golfers. So he could be entering the phase that Speed. I don't think he will, but I'm just saying it's actually would be perfectly understandable if there was a dip.
It's also, you mentioned that kind of focus that he's had for 10 years, Philip, but it's even, look at last year. So he missed the cut at the Open and he finished 68 a couple of weeks later. And in between that, he had a tied fifth at the Olympics. That 68, I can't remember the tournament, tied 68. That's the only non-top 20 he's had since. He's been out 8 times this year. His worst finish is tied 17th. So he's kind of due a tied 68. Do you know what I mean? That focus has been there and it's been ramped up. We saw it, the form he was coming into the Masters in as well. It was signposted. So it's absolutely perfectly understandable. And we talked as well about the concertinaed nature of the four majors now this year. Everything is literally sitting on top of each other. And that goes back to what you were saying about been to Everest, have to come back down, reacclimatise and go again. And we heard everything about him coming back to Ireland and spending time with his family and friends and absorbing the moment. And another point to pick up on what you made, you mentioned Scheffler at the start of it. Is he the holder of any of the current majors?
No, he's only won 2 Masters.
Exactly. So a guy who you quite rightly say is, his rating is up there with Tiger Woods, yeah, at his peak, does not hold any of the four majors at the moment. Like, it is so incredibly difficult to do this.
And golf is so incredible. The depth of the field now, you look at someone like Åberg coming along. These golfers seem to be coming along now who are fully formed. So the idea that it will get easier, I must say, I never bought into that.
I think there is a class, his permanent thinking behind Justin Thomas. He won the Heritage this year, so maybe that was a part of the thinking of having him in that Ryder Cup team. But like for McIlroy,
I preferred Phillip's explanation.
What's the goal now? Is it to be the best European golfer ever, to surpass Nick Faldo? Is it to get to 10? Is it to win a St Andrews in 2027? I mean, I suppose if you fulfilled everything, if you reached the Everest, as you say, what's next? What's going to drive him over the next decade?
Port Rush. I'm sure he's not even thinking in decades, but this year and that idea of a calendar slam, he's so good. He obviously has those kind of milestones in his head. The sense of history he's always been attached to. So like Port Rush, I would have thought looms huge for him. So
will golf ever be as peak as it has been over the last few weeks?
It's hard to say because, I mean, obviously after the Tiger Woods era, it's struggled big time, and that's without the whole Civil War aspect to it. And Rory is, like I said earlier, I mean, it's remarkable when you go to a tournament like the Open. I've been lucky enough to go to the last couple, and you do talk to journalists, and you're more mindful of what other people are writing and saying in different jurisdictions. And he is as central to it. So I don't know if
we get a story to match the way McIlroy and the drama. And like Scheffler, he just doesn't do it. He's an amazing golfer, but he doesn't do it for you as a fan in the same way. Like I watched him and he nearly fell off the tee box the other day, and you're looking to him, if you turn the sound down, didn't know where the ball was going.
Him ended up in the mugshot is probably the most bizarre thing that's ever happened in sport.
Yeah. And even that was low key,
that's the most low key arrest and release.
High profile.
But he
arrest.
Came across people say, he doesn't have much personality. I thought he was great in that, and he talked about the night in the cell, and then his friends, was it the last day, his friends turned up with the cartoon cutout of him hanging on to the front of of their car that they drove into the car park. There's a real sense of humour and amazing talent, but he just doesn't. He doesn't drive eyeballs. He doesn't have that magnetic personality while playing that McIlroy has.
You guys probably watch more golf than I do, but even watching him play, I don't get a sense of drama about. He's so practiced at what he's doing and what he needs to do to get around the course.
But it's all internalized with him.
Yes, but even the manner of he plays. Am I right in saying that in the manner in which he plays?
But
the
thing with the way he kind of when he hits the ball is kind of. It's almost like he's dancing with his feet a bit.
Yeah.
And so there's no real signature. The signature is that he's just very good.
Yes.
Whereas with McIlroy, there's spectacular drives. Yeah. There's the mistakes. There's the mess ups.
But have you been in the company of McIlroy on the course?
Luckily at Adair Manor, I was a pro-am thing, and you could see the balls coming off the tee were like missiles.
There's a different sound, I must say. Standing beside him, I think it was the pro-am over in the K Club a couple of years ago, like there was a sound of a golf ball that they'd never heard before. But I remember on the range, it was just beforehand on the Wednesday, you're there late and the crowds had kind of disappeared, but we were on the range and all the players were there, and all of a sudden, without looking, there's this feeling that McIlroy has arrived. Like genuinely turned around, and you could just feel it in the air. And there he is, just heading to the range. He just carries this sense of charisma and personality. And you could see all the other players on the range kind of nearly moving over. Here comes the main event, which he was in the Irish Open. But he does bring that. And that just translates. It's amazing how it translates to the TV screen.
Shane Larry missed the cut, doesn't like Quail Hollow, has admitted that beforehand, said F this place yesterday. One of the most beloved sports stars in the country, one of the soundest people I've ever met in sports, just a great guy. I wonder with Shane Larry, I was at St Andrews 10 years ago, I saw him livid after one of the rounds. It was just this kind of don't go near me. And then I met him at Lahinch before Port Rush in 2019, and he was very relaxed, very carefree. I just wonder with Shane a bit recently, is he getting a bit too hot under the collar? I'm just kind of feeling, am I seeing this a bit too much recently? Maybe Oakmont, where he nearly won the US Open, and Port Rush going back there will imbue amazing memories for him, and that he can go win another one. But I don't know if he's trying too hard. Like he really tailed off with an 81 in the final round of the Masters. I think it's maybe because he's just so close. He's top 10 in the world now. He was second last week. Maybe he doesn't feel like he's getting everything out of it, but
The ball in the plug mark last night, that was cruel, and that cost him, arguably cost him
the Shane Larry that played at Port Rush was utterly free, and we saw him win, and I never saw this at the frustration. I mean, look, because he was coasting to victory, but you just hope that he can get back there.
But his game has to be, if he has to be in a great place, John. So whatever he's doing has to be working, given that he's what, around the top 10.
Well,
so
he's
clearly,
the top 10 now, isn't he?
Yeah. So clearly, that attitude, while it obviously translates to maybe a bit over emotional on the course, it's got him to where he is now.
Yeah. Philip Lanigan and Brendan O'Brien are with us on the Review of the Week on the Saturday panel here on Off the Ball and News Talk. You want to get in touch, 0879 180 180, 0879 180 180. Rachel Blackmore's retirement, the sports controversy, the revival, the beauty of Gaelic Games now, bit of hurling as well, and the Rugby Sevens abolition for men, all to come between now and about 2:40.